evening. Welcome to the Yellow Dogs. Nice crowd tonight. Sweet to get to sit with so many people. You know, have you ever asked yourself, I know you have, because I've asked myself too, what do I expect from just being quiet and still for, say, 30 minutes? Some of us sit for an hour. You think, what is that all about? And so we start that way, just being curious, what does I have to offer us? And Achan Cha says it so well, who was a Thai forest monk, famous sweetheart. He said, just go into the room and put one chair in the center. Take the seat in the center of the room. Open the doors and windows and see who comes to visit. You will witness all kinds of scenes and actors, all kinds of temptation and stories imaginable. Your only job is to stay in your seat, and you will see it all arise and pass away. And out of this very arising and falling away, wisdom and understanding will come. So, takes us a while to really get into or feel the results besides the achy body. Mm-hmm. Achy, that's the first rite of passage, is just being able to be still. I mean, who tells us to sit down and be still but our teachers? They do. So, what's the benefit? What can I expect? It's not easy to not move for 30 minutes for any of us. And the main reason is because we don't do it. It's not impossible, but somewhere along the way, we hadn't heard what stillness has to offer us. And so it hurts our physical body. I didn't think the pain would ever go away. Well, for one thing, we're still and we're paying attention. So it's like we're getting to see some parts of our body or feel the parts of our body that we've probably completely ignored. And so, but on top of that, if we're in touch with what's going on within the body, in a sense, within the sensations, it hurts because we're resisting it. You know, it's not something that we can relax into, but it takes patience and commitment. And just talk to anyone who's done it for any length of time, and they'll quickly say it's worth it. But each time we sit, we make more room within, gives us more room within to be with, to look, to see what actually is going on within. Because the teachings say it's all within us. We already know all this. We've forgotten. And so, beginning to remember again what we're all about, what this life is all about, what is important about this life. And so, it becomes easier to begin to live our lives from within. I didn't know that that was possible. What do you mean within? I mean where that's our main focus is what's happening within. Not what is out there, but actually what is happening within, because that's where the truth is. And in the stillness, in the quiet, the wisdom does arise. And so we start to trust that. And oh. When we start trusting it, it's just more compelling. And so we begin to see for ourselves, we are what's within. That's who we are. And there's a part of us within us right now that has never been born and it will never die. We touch that place in stillness intentionally. And so gradually we start to look, hear, think, smell, think, feel in different ways. Things begin to shift slowly but surely. And so one of the things I've noticed in practicing for a while is I've begun to smell again. I don't know where my nose has been, but, you know, it's all of a sudden I have this deep sense or this sense of smelling, you know. And so there's a new appreciation for that, is all I can say. And then so when I go and smell something, I'm not going to smell you, but, you know, don't worry about that. But when I'm smelling, and it's a beautiful smell, I can stay with it because there's joy in smelling a good flower, a sweet flower, or smelling anything that's sweet, hot chocolate. But what's happened, not only have I opened myself to more joy, I know to stay with it, not to just, oh yeah. So I've learned that this sense of smell is precious in lots of ways. It becomes magical. And that's what happens is the simple things in life become like when we were 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old. These very simple things that we're dealing with constantly, we are ignoring. We're not revisiting all the things that we are capable of appreciating and enjoying right in this mind and body. And so I learned that it's okay to stay with the joy, or to remind myself to stay with all the little joys of the day. Stay with them until they go. I'm not going to grab, oh, I want more. I'm not going to grab. But I'm going to let the joy of that particular moment process, be with it. And so these little joys begin to happen. And they are, again, very simple, but then they become miraculous. And so we are studying this body from head to toe. We are beginning to look at ourselves in ways that we have never looked, in very subtle ways. Because being quiet and still with the mind, we see things that we don't see when we're busy doing life. So there has to be that right effort. And so we let the joy pass. We don't hold on to the joy, but joy, along with all our emotions, have a lifespan. So holding that joy until it's gone is adding more joy. And I didn't know to do that. And yet it's so simple. And so What I see in these simple joys is that if I add my 2 cents worth, I conceptualize or I start making a story around it, cuts the joy. Why? Because the present moment is enough. Adding anything to it not only cuts it short, but you just don't get the whole length of being with joy. And so we begin to rely on and appreciating the joys in our lives, the little joys. And any joy or anything we don't like, dislike, because the Buddha says we are going to have in this lifetime 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. Now that can either be frightening or it can be, oh, I had a teacher who cried when he found out that it was, oh, you know, sorrows is part of being a human being. It's something we all share, are these sorrows. And we all share these joys. But there's a way to do it that enlivens the whole mind and body. So we begin to look at all our emotions, and what we see is that they all have a lifespan. They arise, we feel them within, how they arise, they have a nature of their own. And they go away. And when we get to directly see, experience that process, something happens. There's a shift. And we begin to see directly experiencing that we're not these emotions. we're not all the things that we have been taught to grab a hold of and identify with. They're just phenomena. It's all phenomena. And so our attitudes towards those things in life shifts. And they aren't our enemies, but they are to be known. And that's what the practice does. It teaches us how to know these very subtle things about ourselves that we've not paid attention to before. And within that process comes peace, surrender, stillness. The only place we could ever find peace is within. That's it. It's the only place is within. And so it's important what is going on within, because we can have a choice. We can have a say-so. But first of all, we've got to get to know ourselves in a way that lends this kind of knowledge, lends itself to this kind of knowledge. So we can add more suffering to our suffering if we don't know what to do with the good and the bad and the uglies of life. And that's what the practice does. We take it all in. We don't push anything away. We're finished with pushing things away or stuffing things. Our emotions. See the freedom? Can you just hear the freedom in that and the peace in that? Because with the practice and studying what we study, and we're studying ourselves. So nothing changes when we start practicing or we continue practicing. Nothing changes. Life has a life of its own. But what changes, what shifts, is how we relate to the joys as much as to the sorrows. Because that's what I found too, was, oh my goodness, I'm missing these joys. I'm just checking them off. Watching a 4 or 5 year old, it's amazing to see where they find the joy. Well, we have that capacity. It's just that we've gotten lost. We've gotten distracted. We've put our time and our, I'm going to say money, but I'm not sure that, but our time and our effort in places that's not conducive to that. And so immediately we feel a relief. Again, if we practice, and a daily practice is important in order to reap any benefits, long-term benefits. I'm not going to say we don't get any benefits. But we learn how to pause. And the formal meditation that we do every day allows that to happen in our everyday life. It just happens. All of a sudden, we're not quite so reactive, impulsive, going at it, you know, as fast as we can. There's a sacred pause that arises in us. It's already there, but we just start noticing. And that pause gives us a choice. Do I want to react to this, is this the ditch I want to die in? Or what are the other possibilities? And so then what happens with all our habits that we're all sick of? I mean, we all have these habits, so it's saying, go away. Well, we tried everything to live with these habits, but it just seems that if I don't know what to do with them, if I don't know how to let them go, but the habits, what the habits do for us, it put us on automatic. We're just on automatic. This happens. If I see this, I hear that, I think that, then I'm going to react, not thinking or pausing, but I'm on automatic. So what we've gotten ourselves into is artificial intelligence. You know, we do that, and we're not even aware of it. But we're on automatic. And then life becomes dull. Life becomes, we've just forgotten. And so in working with ourselves intimately and getting to know ourselves, and there's a whole process to do that, and it's simple because you just did it. Then things begin to happen. There is more ease in life than we have today. There is more peace. And we're not going to find the peace out there anywhere. So if we really and truly want the peace, life of peace, then that's where we start looking. What is it, if it's true that I have everything that I need to wake up and be a 100% human being, what's keeping me from touching that or being with that? And that's what we find out. We get that intimate. And then when we can see these things with being quiet and still, then we have more say-so about them. Then we're not stuck in our habits. Because if we could just shift just one time with one habit that makes us miserable, it loosens it. Every time it loosens it. So see how it's a practice? Yeah. And all you need is yourself. But it's nice to have a group, because if there's one place that the Buddha says is the most conducive for this type of teaching and learning, it's in a sangha. It's with people, because we're all connected. We are all connected. We are not separate. And we begin to feel that connection so much more because we've opened to the laws of nature. There's laws of nature in our livelihood that we've ignored. And so things happen. So I'm going to stop there. Boy, Randy, I didn't get through this lesson at all, did I? And that's okay. I always have a lot more to say. But I am going to stop there.